Up dog fella, look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform, Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fellas,
Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Keegan Bradley. You're listening to Missing Curfew.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
The lads.
Up, dog, my man. Fella
Friday.
Fella Fridays.
Best day of the week. Got my fella fucking tarp on here.
Look at yeah, you do. I like fella. That. I went with the OG Missing Curfew Bucky here.
It's nice.
I wore golfing yesterday. I played good. Fucking hitting the ball well.
I tell you what.
Two doubles, though, but I shot 75. Two doubles.
To the fellas out there, there's this tournament out here. Shout out to Dennis Shannon. San Gabriel Country Club. It's called the Cravens. Me and the Updog played in it. It's
quite some time now.
Fuck, 4 or 5 years ago. Anyways, it's straight up alternate shot. And the first day to qualify is alternate shot, add them up. So, like, you could take a 10 out there. Anyways, Updog, it's the best I've ever seen you hit the ball back in those days. I made him put his cell phone in his bag. Put your cell phone in your bag, and let's see if we can do this. And I wasn't a very good golfer back then. I somehow just played good enough, and you striped it, and we made the championship in our first look at the course. It's like the Masters, right? Masters is going on right now. There's only been one guy to ever win the Masters in his first time. Do you know who it is? Big old school. Wore glasses.
Yeah, Tom Kite.
No, good guess, though.
Wore glasses.
Got in trouble for saying some borderline stuff back in the day. Fuzzy Zeller.
Fuzzy.
Only guy to ever play the course the first time.
He sized it up and said, let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. So, Updog, me and you were the Fuzzy Zellers of San Gabriel. Never played a practice round. Never seen the course. Drove up in the rain in your vintage Alpina. It was raining on the
road. That's why we felt so good, but yeah. You get the lazy boy seats.
Yeah, but listen, we're going to play it again, and I love where my game's at. I really do. I've never been – I'm going to pump my own tires here. It's our podcast. I've never hit the ball as good as I'm hitting
wow.
it.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, just feeling it. Just in time for spring, too.
Yeah.
Nice. The greens just got punched. There's a lot of rain, so there's nice
there's
and green.
Still shit.
Yeah, but they're coming.
Are they?
Yeah, they're coming.
Putted awful yesterday.
Me, too.
You know what? I'm turned into that guy, too. I've turned into that, snobby country club guy.
Been there, bud. Quality golf.
Like, I hit the putt. Fucking greens. Nice greens.
Totally.
Just go track. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, ball. They got a punchable. I'm like, punchable.
It's the stick's fault. It's trainer's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've just saw
it. Why haven't you scored in 25 games?
Yeah.
My skates are not sharp.
Bad lineys.
Yeah, bad lineys.
I'm on the fourth line. How am I supposed to score?
Yeah, let's go and posting out, not posting in.
So Jason Beach, our caddy, our buddy, more than a caddy, a friend, he helped my swing. I used to have like a really low, like right to left hooker and he started helping hit this left to righter. And then as a band-aid, Updog knows he's playing me as a band-aid, I'd have this big open stance and I was hitting this 30 yard cut. Remember? And it was going 300 yards, but it was going 40 yards right. And then another, whatever coming the other way, 260. And then finally, Danny Lane, about a month and a half ago, he's like, what are you doing? Be an athlete. Close your stance up.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Ups, I'm just, my contact is so much better. I mean, I'm still hitting some bad shots, obviously, but just the crispiness is there.
Listen, we get in this tourney, it's anyone's match. It's
I'm
tricky,
excited.
Though. I mean, there's clubs, there's teams from Ireland, Chicago, New York.
No, you remember?
Yeah,
there was a team from Ireland came in.
My island.
You bring your boy.
Hey, laddie.
You get your laddie. Laddie. You come in, you bring your caddy, Maurice, and you come in, you try to just go lights out up in Pasadena, California. Yeah.
So we still don't have a caddy, technically. I reached out to Dane. He has a little contract scheduling conflict. Kenny the Wiz, not sure. Hmm. So what if we can't get, we got to get a caddy somehow.
I could ask my Beckham.
Speaking of Beckham, did you see that par three contest out there?
I did.
I mean, are you
a lot of kids?
Are you not allowed to play on the PGA Tour unless you have six kids? Well, what's the rule?
Yeah, it's just it's kind of that new age kid. You know, one guy spouts one out, and the next guy wants one, and they're in just kid mode.
Is there any bad boys on that tour that just say, "I'm not getting married. I'm going around city to city and
Will Zalatoris?
I mean, he looks like Happy Gilmore's caddy.
Yeah, who's the young John Daly coming up?
There isn't any.
No.
There isn't any.
What about the boy that just won this week, the lefty with the glasses? The guy you play with?
Akshay.
Akshay.
Getting married.
Really?
Yeah, he's getting married, yeah. 22 years old getting married.
I know, with that hair, I'd never get married.
Yeah, you know, I just think that's the PGA way. I mean, when I turned on that par three contest, there was more kids than there was fans. I'm like, what?
I know, it makes me worry about my bet with Koepka. Because Koepka's got a fresh one coming out, and I know he just steps it up. But I still took him. I took him in my pools. I took him, you know, plus whatever, 4,000 to win.
Like, plus 1,800.
Yeah, I took it.
So did I. After you said that yesterday at Big, I was like, Updog's right. And then I saw a picture of him, and I'm not one to talk here. I'm not going to be on the cover of Men's Health anytime soon, but he looked a little softer on the fucking midsection.
That's okay. He still has it up. Yeah, he still got up here.
Is that all right?
Yeah, once he gets down that Magnolia Lane, those Augusta fairways, I mean, he puts it on, right? He'll be staring Scottie Scheffler down right in the lips.
Everybody took Scottie Scheffler to win.
I know.
I mean, if it's just like, he's almost, take this with a grain of salt, he's not Tiger Woods, but he's almost got that feel right now of it's him and everyone else.
Yep.
So we'll see.
I mean, there's never been a line this good. Well, Tiger had one line at one point. It was like minus 180.
Yeah, the last favorite to win the Augusta was Tiger in 05 or 07. I can't remember. 05, I think.
Do you know what the line was? Like it
probably not even. I mean, I got Scheffler at minus 450.
Yeah.
I bet you it was lower than that for Tiger.
Yeah, I think it was minus 180, I think, at one point.
Gambling wasn't as big back then, though, right? People were still doing it.
Like 2-1. Yeah. 2-1 for a guy for him to face the field is pretty insane.
Yeah, I mean, you could have got Scottie Scheffler at minus 200 to make the cut. I think that's a lock.
Yeah.
A lock.
Yeah.
Was it? No, that was a top 10, actually. For him to make the cut was something like minus 11.
What I do like is you get the first round to kind of rejudge, and then you can jump back on the DraftKings site and see, like, okay, from here on forward, you don't need to make that decision quite right before the first round.
No, that's true. You do say that. Wait around or two.
Like maybe he stripes it well but just doesn't putt well, so you know, like, okay, is his odds going to change here? He didn't quite shoot, you know, what he needed to. It's all about moving Saturday, right?
It doesn't start till the back nine on Sunday, they say. Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. Saturday, Sunday, the weather's supposed to be perfect in Augusta. I can't wait. I am fired up. Speaking about fired up, Updog, UFC 300 is Saturday. I touched on it a little bit with you on our Wednesday show, but listen, this card is absolutely stacked. If you're a UFC fan, you were fired up. This is what Dana White does better than anyone, put cards together. The first fight of the night is Figueroa versus Garbrandt. That's two former champions. I mean, it is unbelievable. It's absolutely stacked. The celebs are going to be out. I can't wait to take it in, Updog. I thought about going, but when it's Masters weekend and you got UFC, that's too good of a day on the couch to pass by, buddy. But listen, Updog, if you have time this weekend, check out these fights, man. It's going to be electric. It's going to be electric.
300? I mean, I just went grabbed a little steak with my buddy last night, my buddy Fred. Shout out Chicken Shop here in Newport. And he's going in with his buddies. He's all fired up.
Who's Fred?
Have you ever had the Chicken Shop?
No, but that blowtorch looked like the torch that used to.
Yeah.
Remember when you had to curve your sticks back in the day?
Totally.
The wood. Like,
this would have lit your stick right on fire. It would have melted the whole thing.
That thing was
It gets
smoking.
To like 1,000 degrees, this charcoal grill he's got in.
Who's Fred?
Fred's my boy there. Yeah, he's from, he's an Aussie.
He works there.
He owns the place.
Oh, so you were picking up dinner for the Upshelf.
Yeah, but he went in, he grabbed lamb chops and steaks from the grocery store next, and he's like, we're not doing chicken. I'm going to do steaks tonight. And he fucking cooked it for me. I had a couple IPAs in there on my way home from golf. I was obviously feeling pretty good by the time.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah. That was great.
Is that right by my nail salon there?
Right
Newport
by
Nails?
You're exactly right.
That's nice.
Stop in for, you get the OG wrap.
I've had the OG wrap on DoorDash before. They stick the French fries in it?
They do.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, if you're not getting a manicure or pedicure, what are you doing with your life?
Getting rub and tugs. If you only got that hour a week to do something,
dude,
I don't know.
I was having lunch with a couple guys at Big Canyon that will remain nameless, and it was a father-son combo. And the one gentleman said, do you know where my office is? It's up on Birch. And I just jokingly said, yeah, I used to hit a rub and tug up there. And the one guy's like, hey, my dad's sitting right here. And I'm like, oh, sorry, did I offend? I didn't mean to offend anyone here. It's just, I'm just joking.
Yeah, it's totally. It's a joke.
Are rub and tugs frowned upon in the real world?
I don't think so.
Right?
No, I don't think so. But I think just in context, I think it's funny.
Yeah, I was
we were joking. We're not actually going.
I was trying to be funny. Yeah, yeah. I was just like, I know where Birch is. I used to rub a tug.
I mean, if we talk about a nail salon, we are actually getting manicures and pedicures. But I think when we just throw out the tug, we just slap. It was just, there's no rubbing.
He wasn't thrilled, though. He looked at it like, hey, man, my dad's sitting right here. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to offend anyone. But I'll tell you what, I go in there.
You go, I guarantee your dad knows what I'm talking about.
Hey, you've been there, right, fella? I tell you what, I go in Newport Nails. They're the nicest ladies in the world. I get three of them come out, right? Yeah. One on the feet, one on the hands. And then the neck and head, and they're just working me over.
Totally.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
I went in there last year. You actually caught me mid mani-pedi after I got just rinsed in the first round by the Bruins and Avalanche losing. I went in there and I said, give me the full pamper.
Yeah.
I said, ladies, I'm having a bad day. You know, bring them out.
You got hit by the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, whoever's back there, bring them out. Because I need them. I need them on dog. So.
You're talking about the tug, right? I need the forehand.
Well, I need everything you got back there. UFC 300, check it out. Listen, Dave Portnoy, part of the DraftKings
He's
family.
He's not stopping.
Now, this guy is a machine. He bet $600 on UConn, which, by the way, I got to talk to A-Hall, like, on all these basketball. We're at a basketball studio here, and nobody knows that UConn's the best team by that much. Like,
in the history of basketball
someone
ever.
Someone tell us.
I know.
That was like,
I picked Michigan to win.
You picked Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. Same thing.
Say it's Big Ten, hey?
Same thing. Is, hey, it's just, I don't know shit about nothing.
It's a swing state. Either one's a swing state.
Yeah.
We need them. It's a swing state. But he won $2.7 million on UConn. Easy Portnoy on DraftKings, eh? We want to be able to afford our salary here. Don't take down the whole fucking sports book. And then Big Cat won $150K on UConn. And Portnoy, Masters Week, he just put $300K on Scotty Scheffler.
He's putting his winnings to work.
6.
I know. He's putting his winnings to work.
That made me feel good, man. That made me feel good. Because I got Scheffler, too.
Yeah. I wonder, for tax reasons, if you just don't cash it out and you keep using it, do you have to pay taxes on that? It's a good question.
It's above my pay grade, yeah.
Like, I think until you cash out, so, like, he might as well just keep betting.
Maybe.
Right? When you're up on your book, you just got to keep smashing it.
And then if you lose in your Portnoy, that's a tax write-off, right? Because he's, like, that's
promoting
his life.
It. Yeah. Totally. Same with us.
So it's a win. It's a win-win for him.
Right? We could argue that. Yeah, we can argue that, too, actually. Call the tax guy.
Yeah, call the tax guy. Listen, though, Portnoy, he's a machine. I love everything they're doing up, dog. And that makes my bet feel a little bit better. Quickly here, NCAA Frozen Four starts tonight. We're recording on a Thursday. Boston College versus Michigan. DU, used to spend some time on DU campus back in the day, against BU. Listen up, dog. This is great. Frozen Four, get her done in mini.
Listen.
Bucci, I'll be listening, fella.
Macklin Celebrini, buddy, 17 years old, leads Boston.
BU.
Right into BU, baby.
He's the kid's a player.
I know he's a player.
Who's going to get the first pickups?
I don't know, but this kid, he's an hour from his Shattuck roots. And you got to think this kid's just going to step it up.
He is going to step
light
it up. Yeah.
BU, baby. Hayes.
Yeah. BC.
That was Shatty. I got Shat, dude.
Ikes went to BU. Ikes went to BU. Yeah, anyways, it's always good. Frozen Four. Bucci loves it. He's been pumping it up the last couple weeks on ESPN. So check it out, fellas. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mr. Curfew, up dog, my man. Labatt Blue, fella.
Presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine pilsner. Enjoy your beers together, fellas, so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA in Buffalo, New York, fellas.
Oh, up dog, get this guy, Labatt Blue. Listen, ups, you're hard on this city. I've been hard on this guy a little bit about, you know, signing in Columbus and you know, he got a, you know, big time payday, which he deserved, but, you know, does he not want to win a Stanley Cup? Anyways, it's Johnny Hockey. What a nickname.
That's the best.
500 apples in the NHL. Good on him. That's a lot of assists. Listen, this guy, he's a playmaker, man. I mean, I don't watch Columbus a whole lot. I have been betting against him pretty much the last month, so I have watched him a little bit more. Still exciting when he gets the puck. When he gets the puck in his hands to the neutral zone, he's as good as anybody. So Johnny Hockey, get yourself a Labatt Blue, fellow, for 500 apples. And then my former teammate, Stammer the Hammer Stamkos. Stammer, what a goal he scored the other night. Speaking of Columbus, that one-timer, what a pass by Kucherov, first of all. And Stammer goes down the shaft. It's always nice to go down the shaft, eh?
Is it ever?
You go down the shaft.
To the tip.
Right to the tip, down the shaft. And he fucking puts this short side spink dink on Columbus's goalie, who I've never even heard who he is. He's playing pretty good. But listen, 19 power play goals he's got. He's got power play goals in 6 or 7 straight games. He's a UFA up dog. He has to stay in that position. With Kucherov under contract, Julian Breezebrough, Coop, you have to find a way to keep Stammer there, because the way Cooch can hit that seam, and Stammer's got the best one-timer there besides maybe a guy we're going to talk about next. But Stammer, get yourself a Labatt Blue, and Lightning, get Stammer signed.
Pay the man. Yeah. Pay the man his money. Alex Ovechkin, I mean, it seems like every time we're giving this guy a Labatt Blue light. 18 30-goal seasons, only once in his career, big fella, has he not hit it. And that was 24 goals during a half season. So you can give it to him.
Yeah, I would.
852 career goals now, and only 42 behind the great one, our boy Wayne Gretzky. I mean, it's absolutely thumping. What he's doing is not surprising. But the fact that his body is still going at this age.
It's going good.
I mean, him and Sid the Kid, way, I mean, they don't slow down.
Bubway. Fucking Bubway.
Bubway, the Coke and the bag of dill
pickle. By the way, if you're Subway... And it, like, you remember Happy Gilmore when he was trying to get the last money to get grandma's house back?
Foot longs.
Cold cut combo. I eat 3 every day to stay big and strong. Why Subway doesn't reach out to Ovi here and do a commercial? By the way, I want in if this happens. This is me and Uppy getting a commission
totally,
of this. But
totally.
Ovechkin should be doing Subway commercials next year into chasing down the great one. When I saw he had 42, I was like, he can do it next year.
I know. Yeah, he can. And he's talked about he will, because the end is in sight.
Yeah.
The finish line is right there. And it's all about his body, fella. So how about the next
guy? By the way, another big win. Sorry, before we move on. They go in and beat the Detroit Red Wings in Detroit.
Ah, big win.
Listen.
That's a big win.
Charlie Lindgren, their goalie, Chucky, they call him. Ovi's interview at the other game was awesome. He's like, Chucky played unbelievable.
Chucky Norris.
And that's one thing. The Red Wings aren't ready to be a playoff team when, you know, you can't lose that game at home. But the Caps, man, greasy. Greasy team. Ovi,
led by the grease ball himself,
John Carlson. And by the way, Ovi's the only guy ever for 18 30-goal seasons.
That's insane, yeah. Crazy, man.
Get a Labatt Blue.
Get a Labatt Blue light. How about Nathan MacKinnon, fella? You watched this game the other night. I mean, he was on a tear.
My neck's still sore from watching it.
So is that poor bastard he skated by for the last 3.
Middleton, I love
Middleton.
Him. I love him, but
take your skates off.
Was he? And listen, I don't know why he didn't. I would have two-handed Nate or hooked him or tripped him. I wouldn't have let him just.
He knew he was on the highlight reel. I wouldn't have just do something good.
I wouldn't have just gave him a ticket on the way by and opened the fucking toll for him.
Flyers.
He was fucking Flyers. He was flying, though, up dog. He was flying.
He was sure. So 50 goals for the first time. Congrats, Mac Daddy. 51 goals, 86 assists, 137 points. That was his 7th career hat trick against the Wild. And, you know, in absolute fashion, he scored goals. It made the game of hockey look like mini golf.
It's crazy, man. So I watched the game before because I took Tampa -330 over Columbus, and they got down 2-0 or 2-1, and they looked like complete dog shit. And then they came out in the second, third, and just turned it up a notch. Cooch has 3 points.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's like 8 ahead of MacKinnon now. I'm thinking, oh, this race could be over. No. Nate must have been watching. He comes out, puts up 4. Could have had 10. I've never seen a guy buzz like, obviously McDavid, but the way Nate played the other night against Minnesota was something that I've never even seen.
Yeah, no one's in his way, right?
No.
His power is there. He's coming back and circling and getting speed. I mean, imagine that force, like having that in your quads and your ass and your hammies, like just to be able to explode like that.
Well, I know.
It's insane. Dennis, he doesn't get tired.
Dennis Shannon was talking about Nathan McKinnon. He's like, well, who's that guy you brought? I'm like, Nathan McKinnon, he's going to win the MVP. He's like, man, I'm like, when Nate shook my hand that day, I was like, easy, fella.
He's a bulldog.
Yeah. I just got out of the pool. Don't kink my neck here. Like how strong he is.
He's a pit bull.
Yeah. Whew. Listen, to me, Ops, I got him at the start of the year at +900. I put 500 on him to win the heart. To me, having 50 goals and also being right there in the points race, even if he doesn't beat MacKinnon, the 50 goals, And we'll see if Matthews gets 70. But to me, and obviously I'm biased because I love the Avalanche, I love Nate, and I got money on him. But to me, having the 50 goals and being in the scoring race, I think you got to give it to him.
I agree.
But then there's an argument. I'll be Kucherov. He's like 60 points ahead of the next guy.
I know, and his team is playing good. He's getting his team in the promised land. Well, now that they got their goalie back, and Hedman's having another career year. He's another top three in scoring, de-scoring, top four.
Totally.
It's insane. But those three guys, four guys, you know. And then you add Sid in the mix. He's got his team back in the playoff hunt.
I know. It's crazy. That's going to be interesting to see who gets in that last spot. But
love it.
I'm just saying it's been a great race, and whoever wins it's well-deserved. But, hey, the Tampa Bay Lightning, by the way, Dumba, great pickup. Duclair, great pickup.
Totally.
I was begging teams to pick up Dumba, but I would not want to play the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. I was get this guy up, dog, fella. If you're at the bar, club, or better yet on the golf course, and you look over at the fellas to order something, and they all freeze up.
Well, I'd tell them, hey, boys, loosen up. But what would you do, fella?
Exactly. Have some confidence, fellas. Or as Jagermeister calls it, shoffidence. If everyone's struggling, here's what you do. Just order for the table. A round of ice-cold Jagermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, up dog, we've all been drinking Jagermeister wrong.
I guess so. And how do you think we should be drinking it?
The fellas at Jagermeister, they want it at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, Uppy.
You know what? Thinking back, when that cart girl comes around the path, Obes, and the boys are thirsty, and you're just wishing, damn, I'd love just a nice cold shot of Jagermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging with friends or at the bar, call the shots, fellas. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jagermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check Jagermeister out at www.draftkings.com. xjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jagermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jagermeister US, White Plains, New York.
The Bat Blue fella, up dog, it's milk carton time. Listen, you put torts on the milk carton a couple weeks ago.
Usually to get people off it.
Yeah.
Well, no chance.
Well, torts, I love you. I'll always love you, torts, you goddamn maniac. But I got to put you on the milk carton, torts. And the reason I'm putting him on there, Ups, is a month and a half ago, John Tortorella would have been a finalist for the Jack Adams Coach of the Year. And arguably, I think Rick Tocchet is the man that's going to win it, but there is a legitimate argument that John Tortorella could be the Coach of the Year, him and Rick Tocchet. He went from being the Coach of the Year to he might get fired in the course of a month. And I hope he doesn't. I think long-term he is the guy there, or maybe not long-term, but for the next couple of years, I think he can squeeze as much out of these guys, but Torts, I got to put you on the milk carton because I just disagree with the way you handled it. You lost the room, fella, and now you're going to miss the playoffs. And Updog, honestly, man, it's kind of sad. I feel bad because I love Jonesy. I got to meet DB because of you. I love the Philly fans. I wanted Philly to get in. I love Torts, but that's milk carton material, fella.
Yeah. No, it's a fall from grace. It's unfortunately, you know, not having the Flyers in this hunt anymore and watching them, you know, 8-1 to the Montreal Canadiens is absolutely horrendous. And that's something that the Philly fans will never forget this, right? Like, the Philly fans, they love hard coaches. They love guys that play hard, guys that, you know, can take a little criticism. But, you know, listen to the quotes out of Philly of, you know, this is a fall from, you know, this is a fucking disaster. And that, you know, his quotes of, well, if these guys can't handle, you know, if these guys can't handle the way I treat them, then, you know, we got the wrong guys or you have the wrong guy in me. Those quotes are... you know, those quotes just prove that he either doesn't want the job anymore, wants to go back on TV, or he...
He says he hates TV.
I know, but it's like...
Every time I was texting with
him... Couturier, two games in a row, you scratch your captain? Like, come on.
Yeah, I could maybe understand it, Uppy, if the Flyers were picked to win the President's Trophy or picked to win the Eastern Conference, and it was a month before the playoffs, and they were playing like shit, and Torch is like, you know what, I got to wake the boys up here. I'm scratching Couturier. But when you're playing with house's money and you've overachieved the entire season, no one picks Philly to even sniff the playoffs. And you got your guys in a position to not only make the playoffs, but be not a wild card team, be one of the top teams in the Metro, and you go off the rails like this, Torts. I would love to ask him, like, truthfully, fella, what were you thinking? Like, I wonder if he'd be like, you know what, boys, I made a mistake. I don't know if he would.
Think of what it would have done to their team and their young players to play in the playoffs.
Oh, I know.
Tippett, like these young kids to actually say, we did this. Like, We didn't have superstars get us in.
Yeah.
We didn't have like a goalie that ran away with it to get
us in. Oh, they're on their third goaltender.
So it's like, think of that mindset of these all these kids getting a chance to play, you know, Tampa Bay or someone in the first round. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina. Like, that's crazy. And then
would have been a short series, but
well,
still.
You never know. You go on a little bit of a run, you go down swinging at least.
Yeah, I just, you know what, two ups, and you will appreciate this more than anyone. I wanted to see playoff hockey back in Philly.
Yeah.
Because those fans, they wear all the orange, and that place gets rocking.
Totally.
And it's just mutants everywhere, yelling, screaming, it's drinking great. Beer. It's awesome. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I truly believe if I'm in that dressing room, this is where I was going with this. And I tried to put myself in that dressing room, and we're fighting for a playoff spot, and this coach comes out and just buries us and scratches our captain. I would almost maybe deep down be like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like, we're making everyone look good, and like, why are we being negative now? This isn't the time.
Totally.
And I'm not saying they're not trying, but then you know how up dog, it's an unforgiving league. And Torch did say that a couple days ago after the Montreal shellacking. He's an unforgiving league, and when shit runs downhill, it runs downhill fast. So I'm sure right now they're trying to get out of it. And it's just like they're done.
They're done. Yeah,
they're done. Yeah. Torts, I love you, but
have
fella,
a good summer, boys.
Got to put you on the milk carton. Flyers, get down to Cabo or Cancun or Tulum. Shake it off, boys. Work on the tan. Around the National League, up dog. What a league! Listen, your boy Jack Hughes done shoulder surgery. Couple things makes me first of all realize he's playing hurt, which I like. That a boy Husey, way to get out there and try
for
to
sure.
get your team in
for sure.
But up dog, these injuries that we've talked about with him, they kind of be it's turning into something, isn't it? Like I'm worried.
Yeah,
he's
shoulder,
always getting hurt.
Shoulder, a knee, a back. Yeah, he's had a couple right now. So yeah, you're right. It's I think his skill ultimately will take over. You know, he's still young. He'll heal up.
Yeah, I love this kid's game.
Connor McDavid went through some bad injuries to start off with a crazy shoulder and a crazy knee injury, and he's still at a level that who the hell knows how to catch
him. Yeah, no.
But you're right. You know, he's going to have some things to prove. It's going to be a rough summer, not so much golf as it is,
golf's done.
As it is doing those like side lifts and the old planks.
And that's the thing, and you know this too, like rehabbing. Like guys that I've played with that had to rehab all summer and couldn't fucking get in there and do a legit National League summer training, they always seem to struggle at the start of camp the next year because you can't do everything that you've done.
Yeah, you'd be surprised now. He's going to have the best people looking at him. You know, he's going to have surgery probably this week. He'll be 6 to 8 weeks, which is when guys might even start training anyway. So he'll be, you know, he should be more dedicated than ever.
We took 6 to 8 weeks off. Guys don't take 6 to 8 weeks off anymore. me and you took 6 to 8 weeks off. Hey, let's go to Europe for 6 weeks.
Yeah, see how you got to let the body heal.
You got to listen to the body. Rest is a weapon. You got to listen to the body. Updog, 74 points in 62 games. I mean, he's still a great year.
That's a great year. I was even shocked he played 62 games. I thought it might even have been less than that.
Anyway, Husey, rest up, fella. We love you here at Missing Curfew. Frosty, guys, always looking good behind that bench. Last but not least here around the National League, up dog, it's corn dogs, I think, for your former team, the Arizona Coyotes. The mayor of Scottsdale comes out and says, I don't want that fucking rink anywhere near my town. Like one of the weirdest quotes I've ever seen from a guy.
Maybe because it was a half-ass looking, you know, rendering. Like, it looked cool, but, like, what is this video? You guys are just going to post this video and say that these plans are all done? You have the fucking spot for it?
Maybe. Whatever they did, they ticked them off. Because when I read it yesterday morning, I'm like, whoa. And then literally...
Is it the ownership? Does the ownership have this bad bad kind of rap with the city? Or what the hell is it? Why doesn't someone that, you know, has a few billion just step up, buy the team, write it off? You know, you think long term.
Well, this guy's about, Ryan Smith's about to come in and buy her for
one.
The Coyotes would be, this is how it's going to go down. The Coyotes would be sold to the NHL for $1 billion and then flipped. So the NHL is going to make $300,000 on the deal.
$300 million, sorry.
Flipped, yeah. Good point. Flipped to the Utah Jazz owner, Ryan Smith, for $1.3 billion with a B.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City, here we come. It's got to be done. At times, it's over. Joke's over. You got to do it. This guy wants hockey. He's a young, rich guy that's excited. Yeah. Listen, Utah's growing. Park City, Salt Lake. What are they going to be called? They used to be called the Utah Grizzlies. Bushtaw, we used to call them. Loops used to call them Bushtaw.
I don't know. Definitely not the Grizzlies. I think not you bring Grizzlies. In something, maybe some mountain lion, fucking something, something in the mountains.
Rawr.
Some cougars.
So you remember you played against Utah Grizzlies.
Yeah, of course.
They were awful. And Luke's would come in and be like, hey, boys. Luke's like, show up like right before the meeting. All right, Bush Daw, boys. Point night tonight. And Bill Brookbank would be like, come on, Luke's like, don't disrespect the competition. Ah, no chance, Billy. Bush Daw, point night tonight. And Luke's would go and get like four on there. I'm like, Billy, just you can't argue with the Loop Dog.
No, he was too much of a fucking savage sniper.
Yeah, let him go out there, snipe away. And
he was so fucking good.
We'll go get drunk after the game. So. Anyways, Coyotes fans, we love Old Town. We love Scottsdale, but I think it's time. DraftKings Top Titty. Shout out to our winner, KM2939. Tried to get my team in. Can't play in the state of Nevada. Didn't know that. I had a real good team. I had McDavid. I had a good squad. Anyways, he wins with 149 points. Hit us up. Buttery tea and a hat. The captain, Brento, 86. Princey, 54. Man, these guys that win this top titty, it's impressive. They just dominate me.
Yeah.
Dominate me. So get in there. And last but not least, Up Dog, it's the DraftKings Lock of the Night. Fella.
Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Fella. Up Dog, your fucking Blues. I took this bet.
They cost me. We were tied going in 13 wins each. 12.
They bet me over. At least they won last night for me, but they bent me over. I hammered them in this game and they lost. I'm 14-7. You're 12-7. This is the last regular season lock of the night, Up Dog. Lead us off. Let's finish strong. Together, buddy, we are 26-14. I like that number. That's good numbers.
I'm going to go. This is now. Oh, wow. We're almost over. The season is almost over. Man, the Blue Jacks have been costing me here. Let's see.
They hear what you say about them. They know. They got a picture of you in their dressing room as they use it as a dartboard. They use it as a dartboard.
I am going to take the Dallas Stars at home against the Seattle Kraken.
Wow. Good bet.
I'm taking the Stars, fella.
Good bet. All right, fella.
They're 9-1 in their last 10, by the way, the Stars. So heads up.
The Stars are a wagon. An absolute wagon. I'm going to take the Fact Daddy and the Nashville Predators at home against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fact Daddy's buzzing. Smashville's buzzing. Doherty was just there last weekend. He said, what a city. Maybe they go on a run. Maybe we have to make a little trip to Smashville. Yeah. Right? If they get past the first round, maybe something like that.
I would love to.
I got the Fact Daddy and the Preds. Up Dog has got the...
Dallas Stars. Oh, come on, fella.
Stars, what a city. Against the Seattle Kraken. Up Dog Master Week. Friend of the show, part of the DK family. We got Keegan Bradley coming at you right now.
Fellas.
Welcome back to Missing Curfew. Up Dog Masters Week.
What a time of year, buddy.
Yeah. This guy, friend of the pod. First time I played golf with this guy was with you during training camp. We went and played, I believe, the Bears.
Was it Bears Club or Medalist?
Bears Club.
Yeah, okay.
40.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 18 in the world, 6 wins, 1 major, and an absolute beauty. Keegan Bradley, thank you for joining Mr. Curfew, fella.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me.
I just remember the first time we teed it up, how far you were bombing it past the Up Dog. And, God, that made me feel good,
let's
Keegan.
Start there.
That made me feel good.
Not many people. That's not saying much. But...
I mean, listen... I don't know about whatever's in these technology and these drivers now. I don't know about you, but have you gained distance every year after year? I'm bombing.
He's bombing at Keegs.
Yeah, so actually a few years ago or last year, I was playing with Rory, and he was hitting it about 80 yards by me. It was embarrassing. And I went and started to do some yardage gaining stuff. So I used a stack, and you make these crazy swings. Yeah, like now it's such a part of the game. But growing up, you were never taught to hit it, swing as hard as you could. That was like, you were an idiot if you did that. Now it's like, you got to hit it as far as you can. And like, if it's in the rough, you just got to deal with it.
Yeah. Keegs, obviously we're partners with DraftKings, and you came out with this year, the DraftKings Rainmakers. First of all, tell our listeners exactly what that is and how you became part of the DK family. They've been great to us and obviously great to yourself as well.
Yeah. So Rainmakers is a digital fantasy card playing game company, and you know I love being a part of Boston companies, and DraftKings is based in Boston, and you know, but I just it's a perfect partnership for me. I love everything about the company. Jason Robbins is a member of the Grove. I've seen him up there, and it's just it's a great company.
the Grove, eh? Updog. Yeah. The Updog got me
that
out of the,
a nice touch.
The Grove for the first time.
Too. Well, it was more Wayne, but yeah, have you seen it? Have you seen Coach 99? Have you seen the great one there? He's, I mean, he's bellied up in that breakfast place every time you come in there, I'm sure.
One thing about the Grove is you become immune to certain things up there. I basically see Wayne up at breakfast every day. And it's like I'm saying hi to the guy at the club. You know, it's like, this is where I see him every day. You forget. Like, holy shit, that's Wayne Gretzky. It's like one of the greatest athletes ever. And, you know, it's just an incredible place and a fun place to go for me for work. And to get to meet those type of people and chat with those type of people is incredible.
Yeah, I had never met Gretz before. Uppy took me out to play golf with him, and people asked me what he's like as a guy. I'm like, he's a better guy than he was a player, which obviously the greatest player in the world. But playing golf with him and just hanging out with him, as hockey guys, how much you can remember about the game, Keegan, it's crazy. For a guy who's met so many people and been so many places, he remembers stuff from years back. It's nuts.
He's such a humble guy. Like, you would never know that this is like, this is a god, you know? This is, you'd never know it. And he's very approachable. And even like when I'm sitting there with some of my buddies, he'll come over and say hi. Like, he's just, sometimes, you know, you look at these guys who are done playing and you look and you're like, that's who I want to be when I get there. When I see guys like him, I think of that's who I want to be when I'm done playing. I'll never be the Wayne Gretzky of golf, but I would like to be as approachable and as nice and how giving he is with his time and little thing. I mean, if you want to go talk to him about hockey, you want to talk to him about golf, you want to talk to him about mindset, he's there for you. And it's just when I meet these guys, I'm more impressed of how they behave and act than I even have how great that the player they were.
Keegs, you're from Boston, so a Boston legend and hockey legend, Bobby Orr, was a guy that used to come in our trainer's office, Frosty, in Florida, when I first met you, right? So Frosty, our trainer, and have, like, I come in for games, and there's Bobby Orr, like, sitting at his skate, you know, skate sharpening machine, basically doing that exact same thing, just talking to us young guys, sharing stories, laughing, and you're like, fuck, this is, you know, this is Bobby Orr. This guy's an absolute legend, giving, like, his time back to the game, and hanging out with the trainer, which is like the ultimate compliment for like hockey guys. You hang out with the trainers. It's like, so have you ever got a chance to meet Bobby Orr? We have a Bobby Orr in our clubhouse guy here at Big Canyon. He's Bobby Orr. He's a different one. He's just a legend too. Yeah.
You'll love this, Keegs. I was still playing in the NHL and I joined Big Canyon. You have to meet everyone, right? So they're like, oh, you got to come meet the guy who runs the locker room. His name is Bobby Orr. I come down and he's a black guy, right? And I come down, they're like, hey, this is Bobby Orr. I'm like, yeah, seriously, okay, you guys fucking
know. You know Bobby Orr.
Yeah, but he's like, I swear to God, boys, Bobby Orr spelt the same way. So we got him a jersey, and he's an absolute great. He's the best. Keegan, he can get your shoes looking as National League as Updog used to bring him 24 kicks for Bonnaroo.
That's great. That's awesome.
Hey, Keegs, I want to ask you about the Grove, though. Like, for us just hanging out there with all the athletes and all that stuff's amazing for us. But being a tour pro, the practice facility is what you boys love the most, right? You guys can go there and work on every aspect of your game.
Yeah, so I like to look at my golf courses as office space. And I always tell younger players, you always got to try to upgrade your office space. And the Grove is like Park Avenue, Fifth Avenue, New York. You can't get any better. I have a hard time. Like, I could never live anywhere else because I have to have this facility to get better. When you're around Michael and Gretzky and, you know, these other guys, it's inspiring to go out there and work hard. And like, there he is. There's Michael Jordan. There's Wayne Gretzky. These are the two greatest athletes ever. And it's just when you, it's important to be around guys like that and to see, you know, it's just inspiring. I love going to the Grove. I love hanging out there. I love practicing there. It's just an incredible place.
Do you love getting your bill there at the end of the month? Do you love to do that?
I don't look at that thing.
That's one thing you like. Yeah, I never want to see my dues. I never want to see like that time I drank three bottles of wine after the round.
We always say it doesn't cost anything till the end of the month. Doesn't cost anything till the end of the month.
Yeah.
Keegs, I want to talk to you about Full Swing. There was an announcement that came out of the GM's meetings down in your neck of the woods that I believe it's Amazon, whoever, doesn't matter. They're going to follow 10 to 12 NHL guys. Me and Updog always talk about we want behind the scenes, get to know these hockey players as persons. Full Swing's done that with hockey. Do you think it's been a great thing for your tour? Or what are your thoughts on the Full Swing and getting to know you boys, you know, in the clubhouse and stuff like that?
It was a great experience. I did it to try to have the golf world see a little different side of me. the real side of who I am. I'm such a mess at tournaments and so intense and so worried and everything. Like, I can't act like myself. I can't be who I really am. I can't. I always tell this, that I see guys on the golf course when they have this genuine laugh, like during a tournament round, and I think, like, I can't even believe he's able to laugh like that. I can't act like it. So it's not really who I am when I'm inside the rope. So I wanted to be able to show a different side of me and really, you know, really more of who I am. And I think it's a great opportunity. I think it's great exposure for the sport. I mean, the hockey guys, you guys are the best. Let's hope that you boys, that they show the real hockey guys and how much fun they are. And I think it's just great for the sport. I mean, it did it for me for F1. I didn't know a thing about F1. I watched the Drive to Survive and then I became obsessed with it. And I just think it's great exposure for the sport, because people that watch hockey will watch it, but there'll also be a big group of people that have never seen a hockey game that'll get into it.
The one thing I did notice, Keegs, from the Full Swing is that it's tight quarters in that clubhouse for you boys, eh? Like, you guys, it's kind of tight in there with all you boys in there. And it's not like the NHL room where we got all our – do you ever find it tight in there?
Guys are
like,
walking around.
Hey, Rory, move over.
Yeah, we'll
move
walk over. Around Buck Diddy and yeah, no towel over. On you. Hey, put a towel on the buffet line.
The hockey atmosphere is not the golf locker room atmosphere. It's a much different scene. Everyone's got their eyes up, clothes on. There's none of that, but I think it's cool to see, like, guys around their families. I think it's cool to see, you know, what it's like when you miss the cut. Or, like, you're always seeing guys on TV, man. And, like, we get to kick the shit kicked out of us, you know, a lot. And, you know, I just had a tough stretch of golf. I didn't play my best. And I kept telling myself, like, no one's coming. Like, there's no one to pass the ball to. There is no one coming here to bail you out. Like, you can sit here and piss and moan and be pissed and get upset, but, like, no one's coming, dude. Like, you're it. You have to turn. I'm envious of the team atmosphere, because it would be nice to lean on a teammate, or, you know, maybe if not having a good night, play a different role on the team. But, like, we're always the star player.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed too, Keegs, is they just had the whole classic out here with the Champions Tour, and the old legend John Daly was out there. And I just couldn't happen to think about how far the game's come from when Big John played. But how much time you guys spend in the fitness center, right? Pre-round, post-round. Like, you guys, I hate when sometimes, I got an argument with this one guy, a member, guest or whatever, golf's not a sport. I almost took him in the parking lot, Keegan. But, I mean, you guys, how much work you guys put in on a daily basis kind of, showed me how dedicated you guys are, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's nonstop, because we play in all different services, all different parts of the world. We play in weather. We have long weeks. We have long days, hot, cold. So we have to be ready to, like, you know, go. I got to be ready to go out there and beat these guys. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't a joke for me or for we're not out there. Friends, like, there are some guys that are close. I don't really have that. I look at more as a job. And we have to put ourselves in the best position, especially me. I'm 37 years old. These young guys are.
Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends. And live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Coming out there right out of college, and they're mean and they're ready to win.
You got to bring out that Boston in you.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that.
I always do, man.
You have that intensity.
Yeah,
he has that intensity.
All these little pukes.
He has that intensity.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, Keegs, I wanted to ask you from, this is my personal experience from golf. You know, I've suspended myself from member guests and members. Like, I can't play 3 days in a row, Keegs. The body doesn't allow me to, and maybe my off-course activities catch up to me. But how often in the course of four rounds do you feel good? Like, I mean, playing golf when your back's sore, or I had a little golfer's elbow. Like, how often do you feel good in the course of a week?
I've been lucky to be really healthy in my career, knock on wood. There's some days where I wake up and, like, cause we play, you know, some days I'm playing at 7, some days I'm playing at 3, like, some days I wake up, I'm like, I'm tired. Like, yeah. I did whenever, so when we have late early tee times, for the Thursday, Friday. You know, you're done at 7 p.m. You got to get treatment. You got to eat dinner. You got to, and our buddy Steely used to always tell me this, you got to calm down. Like, your brain, like, you're doing your sport and your brain's activated, but you're also doing math all day. You're doing, like, we got 126 to the front. We got 13 on. Wind's out of the right. It's playing 14 more. So you're constantly doing this math. And you're, like, I tell my wife, she knows after the rounds, like, sometimes I can't even communicate. Like, my brain, I'm fried. So you have to calm down. And then we're teeing off. Like, I'm teeing off again at 7:12 the next day. So I'm up at 4. So there's a quick turnaround on there. And so you're laying in bed, like, I got to go to sleep. And you can't. So then I wake up the next day, I'm a little tired, or I don't feel as fresh. And so those are the days, I always tell myself, those are the days that you make your money. Those are the days that it's why you're a pro. You're going to grind this out. And you don't always feel good. You know, there's some days where I get to the course where I'm warming up and I just feel like I got a little extra bounce in my step. Yeah. And I've had days like that and it works. And I go out and shoot 500, 600, 700. And some days it doesn't. But there are days where you feel better than others.
Is there something, Keegs, that you tune into, like, over the course of your career when you're really in those hot stretches, or you look back on some of the highlights you've had of, like, wow, I remember feeling like this, or I imagine listening to this, you know, this album going into the day while I'm practicing. Is there something that you try to go back to when things kind of slide that has really worked, or maybe, you know, it's calling someone, or is there anything that works for you?
Yeah, I mean, I listen to a lot of Boston sports radio. That's what, like, if I have my headphones in at a tournament, like, people think I'm listening to music. I'm listening to, like, Felger and Maz, like, these local, you know, I'm getting the local Bruins updates. Jim Montgomery just screamed at the team a couple nights ago, I heard, blah, blah, blah. And I that sort of stuff that calms me down, I feel like I can't listen. Like, if I start listening to, like, Rage Against the Machine before the round, I'll start whacking people. I'll be hitting balls out of bounds. I'll be yelling and screaming. So I have to, this is the other thing about golf that I hate and that I envy about your sport and other sports. You can't try harder. You can't, you know what? This guy's a gritty player. He's, you know, he gets in the corners, you know, he's not afraid to fight or take a hit, or he just tries harder. He's in golf. The whole thing is not trying hard. When you push is when you play terrible. Yeah. So, like, I have to let the game and come to me. And that's the hardest part about golf for me.
Yeah, when I'm really slashing out there, I'll go to my partner. I'll be like, believe me, I'm actually trying. The sad part is I'm trying. Yeah. I'm actually trying here, buddy. Yeah. Hang with me.
And if this guy keeps birdie in holes, I'm going to just cross-check him.
And then the other thing I hate is my partner's like, lots of golf left, Dolce. So I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Totally.
That's what I'm afraid of. Keegs, I was lucky enough, shout out to my boy Billy Quinn. I got to go down to the Hero World Challenge, and you were playing in the field and got to spend some time with you at the dinner and see it, which was great. But first of all, how cool of a tournament for you boys in the off season to come down there that Tiger puts on. No real fans. You're just out there kind of hanging out. That's got to be a pretty special week and a good off season event for you boys, huh?
Yeah. So playing in the Hero Challenge is an accomplishment. Like, you've done something well, because it's such a hard tournament to get in, and you're there. It's almost a celebration of your year. It's just, you know, some days you'll look around and there's 15 guys in the field and you're like, okay, like, I'm one of the 15 best players in the world to be here, just to be in the field. And especially when Tiger plays, it's so rare that we get to play with him and be out there. And, like, you know, I the first day he came up and warmed up next to me, and, like, I'm still a little kid watching him hit balls. Like, I'm pretending like I'm doing something in my club, but I'm, like, peeking a look at him ripping drivers and, like, checking it out. So it's great to, like, have him out there. And it's a very proud moment, because I hadn't been there in a while. And the last time I went there, my son was really little. Now I have two kids, and, like, I brought my wife, and it was a proud thing for me to get back to that tournament, because the only way you can get in that tournament is from playing well. There's no other way to get in other than having a good 2 years of golf, really.
Yeah, my girl was in the gym and Tiger was in there. He was I think he was taking a run at my girl there. I was like, easy, Tiger. Eh? take it easy on my girl. Take it easy on my girl, fella. So Keegs, when you came to the first tee and, you know, you're getting warmed up and you saw my big ass standing there taking a picture with you, What'd you think? First of all, like, holy fuck, what's Obes doing here? And second of all, I apologize because I was a little bit of a cooler for you, fella. You didn't get off to the greatest start. Then I left you alone and you rallied on the back nine. So I was officially the cooler.
Yeah, I remember thinking, like, I got up to like a horrific start. I think I was like four or five over after nine. And I looked and didn't see it. I was like, fucking glad he left. Thank God. He's a cooler. And then I made a ton of birdies coming in, and then I saw you back on
17
or something. 17. And I was like, all right, you could come for this hole, but you better hope I make at least a par.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I couldn't do that when you were there the first nine holes.
You're like, hey, Obes, yeah, glad you left, bud. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to watch you hit this shot. I'm not following you. Don't worry.
But by the way, golf is the one sport where, as a fan, a spectator, you actually have that, you feel that if things aren't going well for the guy you're watching.
I was walking with.
It's tough. And I did it with Steely one time, and I forget which tournament it was, but I was walking around and I'm like, fuck, I can't watch him hit any more bad shots. I feel like it's me. You know, and we're talking, you're at the game, you know, and there's one baseball game that stands out where I went and watched my buddy pitch.
Matt Harvey,
and at the Angel Stadium. And in the first inning, he just got rocked. And I'm like, boys, this is not good. We should just
leave. I was with you. We should get out of here. We're like third row behind the dish.
The sounds coming off the bats, I'm like, oh, my God. We can't.
Sounded like your driver. I still think that one guy hit one over the Honda Center. I'm like, get down. That is
good. No, but in golf, you're so close and you're so intimate. You feel the motion from the player and you know, the conversations he's having with his caddy and the facial expressions, and you truly feel that as a fan. You're like, fuck. Or if he's going good, you're like, huh, they're like, don't change anything. We got to keep going, you know?
No, I know. I followed Max Homa. This is before Max is, you know, taking his career to where he was at the Canadian Open, and he went like bogey, double, bogey, bogey. And it was just me and my buddy. I'm like, let's just duck away here. Let's give Max an opportunity to resettle. But
is there anyone that follows you, Keegs, where you're like, oh, yeah, I can't wait. I love playing golf in front of, like, my couple buddies back home. Or do you ever get that feeling with – like some guys watch.
I don't really. I do love playing with like Rory and Tiger and Phil. Like I'll get excited, like whenever I have a big pairing, I like playing in front of them. Not that they are watching anything that I'm doing or care what I'm doing, but I enjoy that sort of atmosphere. I really enjoy those big pairings and that big atmosphere. Like I just love it. The first time I ever played with Tiger was at the Players, and I got to the first tee, and you get a text message with your tee time of like the next day, and I copied it and sent it to all my buddies that I went to St. John's with, and they were like, holy shit, you've come a long ways. And so when I get to the tee, and it was Sunday, and he's got his red and black on.
Oh man.
And there's this video of Allen Iverson talking about MJ when he looked at him, and he goes, it's the first time I looked at somebody and they didn't look real. Same thing with Tiger. It was like, he looked like a video game. You know, he had the gear on. You know what I mean? And it was like, this is like, I was another proud moment in my life to go out there with him. And I love playing with Tiger because he's actually really chatty. He'll chat with you. And it was just a great day. None of us were going to win that day if it was the Players. So it was like an enjoyable day. And it was awesome.
Keegs, I want to ask you, no wasted management for you this year. By the way, you picked a good year to sit out because it was cold, rainy, and shitty, and people were more drunk than ever. But why did you decide to take it off this year? Because it was a staple of your schedule, right?
Now with the elevated events, I didn't normally play Pebble. I'd skip Pebble and play Phoenix. So for us, when we skip a tournament, it's either because we don't like the course or it doesn't fit in the schedule. And that was, for me, I was really bummed to not play, to be honest. I love going to Phoenix, but man, I heard some stories. Because it's been wild forever, but I heard this was like really, like almost scary.
Yeah, I, the cold weather brought out the bad side of people. It was just like wet and sloppy, and people were falling all over the place.
It wasn't the usual, like, you know, nice dresses, they get a suntan, you know, have cold beers because it's so hot. Thank God for the DraftKings new sports book they built there, because we would have been stuck outside. We were inside just watching TV and feeling good, but it was mayhem.
It was mayhem.
Ever again.
It was mayhem. You took a good year off. It was a good idea.
I tell people all the time, like, if you're going to go, like, go to the Phoenix Open, and I'm like, it's crazy. And they're like, yeah, I heard that. I'm like, you don't get it. It is wild. Yeah. Like, wild. Like, that tournament is really, like, it used to be just, like, 16, 17, 18 were wild. And then, like, they added that little area to 12. And then now the front's wild. It's like the whole course is crazy now.
Yeah, it's a gong show. But Keegs, Masters coming up here, Masters week for you. First of all, just from a personal, what do you remember from your first Masters? And I just hear you guys talk about driving down Magnolia Lane. Like, what was it for the first time? And how is it every year when you go back there and have the opportunity to play, in my opinion, the best tournament?
Yeah, so again, when you get that Masters invite in at the before the new year, that's a big thing. Like it's all handwritten. It's just this spectacular. The first time I didn't ever go to the Masters or Augusta or play Augusta until I was in the tournament. And the first time I went and played with my dad. And we went and it was before the tournament, and it was just unreal. And then now you go play the tournament and I get to do the par three with my family. And it's just so amazing. Like it's really such a fun event because, again, at the Masters, you're so stressed out. Like people don't realize, like, even in the practice, even leading up, you're getting your equipment tuned in. You're working on a shot, or you've been hitting like this really terrible shot off 11. Like, you're stressed. Like, at least I am. Maybe these other guys aren't. And then you get this like pressure reliever on Wednesday with the par three, and it's really, really great. But you could win the Masters and be going to the rest of your life. And when I tee it up on Thursday, I always just take a second and just envision myself walking up 18, winning a Masters, and what that would be like. Because it's there. That's what's worth golf. Like, it's if you have a tee time, like, you can do it. It's up to you every week. Like, doesn't matter if you're Scotty Scheffler or you're the last amateur in the field. Like, you got a tee time, and you can win this this tournament. And you know, I've gotten to the point now where I can go there and play the tournament. There's no more like, oh, this is Augusta and I'm like intimidated, or I got to go do this and this. Like, I'm going there to win the tournament now and play and practice to get ready. I'm not worried about showing people this, showing people that. And, you know, I'm excited. It's a tough place to play though. It's just hard. I think it's the hardest course in the world. You know, there's no rough. So if they just put like kind of some rough, you 10 over par in the tournament.
Yeah.
It's the hardest course in the world.
You kind of teed me up for my question there. Well, what do you love about Augusta? And I guess what makes it the hardest thing? Like, you hit your ball pretty high, so that would set up well for you. But what things are you excited about? Other things that you've kind of learned, maybe your lessons over the year about Augusta? Don't miss it on the short side, eh? Don't miss it on the short side.
Yeah. So I would go on a ton of scouting missions to Augusta with Phil. And the way he would always show me where you can't miss it on these holes. So left of one at Augusta is completely dead. Like, you can barely get it on the green. And for so many years, I was playing the course where I didn't want to hit it. And it's not really normally how I play. My favorite part of Augusta is when you you play 10 and you hit your second shot on 11 and you walk up over that hill and you look down at 11 and 12 and it looks fake every time. And you're just like, it's like you're in the place where you grew up dreaming of playing. And I just love like the sounds at Augusta, like the roars through the pines, and everything about it. And what the hardest thing about Augusta for me is the wind. It's you're down in these like weird like canals, and the wind like on 12, like it swirls, and it makes for it to be really difficult.
It's the smells too, right? The like spring air with the flowers and the trees. It has like this distinct smell.
Get the allergy medicine in you.
No, but yeah. I'm sure you, and I was a visualizer when I played hockey. Like, so I have vivid dreams about like either winning or just being in those moments again. And I'm sure like, you know, the smells and the sounds like is something that you kind of like tune back to, right? When you're leading up to like the weekend and you're kind of getting fired up, you're like, you know, your body probably goes back to those moments of, you know, I will hear those roars. And then, like, hopefully they're for me. Like, and I don't know. Are you a visualizer like that, like leading up to stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I like I said, I always take that second, like, either when I'm driving down Magnolia Lane or, you know, I'm walking up 18 at Bracciano, and I just, like, take a second and just put myself on Sunday with, like, a three-shot lead, making that iconic walk up. I just think, like, in this golf, you never know. Like, you never know when it's your turn. You're never, the saying is like, you never, as far away as you think you are, and you're never as good as you think you are. Like, this just, it's right there. But Augusta is such a magical place. And we talk about the smells, like the locker room and the player dining has this like distinct smell.
It's funny you say that, Keegan. Sean O'Donnell told me my rookie year, he's like, you're never going to be playing as good as you think you are. You're never going to be playing as bad as you think you are. And that was something that I took on my whole career. But I want to talk to you about the fans, or the patrons, right? The patrons. They're so respectful at Augusta. I've never been, but, you know, like going to a U.S. Open in New England or New York, you know, you might hear some stuff. Is it nice to know at Augusta they're going to be proper there? You don't have to hear some, you know, the bad guy like me yelling at you or something like that?
It's just so amazing. Yeah. The best is there's an autograph area, like that's the only place you can sign autographs. And so, like, when you're on the course, there's no autographs. Nobody has a cell phone in the crowd. So think about this. Like, think about anywhere in the world that you could go where you're in a 50,000 people and not one person has a cell phone. So
you'd be in one.
you're not taking. There's no, can I take a selfie? Like, I was telling, my sister's a huge Harry Styles fan, and I'm walking around and I see Harry Styles. Like, who is he? One of the most famous people in the world. He can walk around there and be normal because no one has cell phones. No one has, like, there's no autographs. Like, so he's just like walking around. It's so pleasant to be out there because they're all scared that they're going to get kicked out. Like, if you do anything, like, you're gone, especially even the players. Like, I'm making sure everything I do is proper when I'm there. You two could last a second.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you need the old pen and the pencil and scorecard to get a number.
I'll be on the couch listening to Jim Nantz. I'll be on the couch listening to Jim Nantz. Hey, Keegs, I want to ask you about your beauty caddy, Scott Vail, good Ontario lad. Does he look forward to throwing that jumpsuit on, you think, or what? Is he fired up?
That's got
to be a little chafy there come fucking Saturday and Sunday.
Fun fact about Scott: he went to high school with Sean Thornton.
That's right. Man. You told me that.
Can you believe that? Yeah. they're a year apart. Like, they grew up in the same like tiny little town in Oshawa, Canada. Bizarre. But yeah, he's a hardcore Canadian.
Yeah.
He loves the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's honestly one of the greatest caddies. Like, he's just unreal. I've been so lucky in my career to have amazing caddies. All of them that I've had. I've only had a few, but Scott, a good caddy. What Scotty does best is when I'm in contention, like, I personally think we're as good of or the best team out there. Like, we have it's the first time I've had a caddy that we've been like kind of closer friends. And like, I love being out there with Scotty. It keeps me loose. And he's just an incredible caddy.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to talk to him a little bit there when you're playing the hero, and he's just a good Canadian lad. You can tell he's from the dirty, dirty Shawshua. He's a great guy. Keeks, lastly here, buddy, we don't need to get into last year's Ryder Cup. Man, me and Updog, we both thought you should have been on that team. But President's Cup year, do you get quite as jacked up for that? Does that mean something to you? Obviously it does, but is that something on your radar as well? Because, hey, Montreal's a great city, fellow. We're the core at Royal Montreal. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, I grew up in Vermont too, so it's close. It's like Montreal was always like, that's where you'd go. When you get 18, you'd zip over the border there to Montreal. You get just as excited for the President's Cup. This past year took a lot out of me with the Ryder Cup and what happened, and watching it on full swing. So I'm trying I'm not as like obsessed as I was. I mean, I want to make the team more than anything.
Yeah.
That's obvious. Every player in the world wants to do it. I can't put myself through that again. I'm going to play my hardest. I always do. I'm going to try to beat all these guys, get on that team. But I can't go through that roller coaster again.
Yeah.
I mean, we were after that, after I got the call from Zach that we weren't on the team. Like, it was it was shocking what it took out of us. Like, honestly, I've never seen my wife is a very like she doesn't, if I win or lose, there's no real difference. She was really bummed out. And it was just like, I put so much into it and I can't do it again. You know, like, the only way to make the team is to play really well. I want to play really well every week, no matter if there's a President's Cup or a Ryder Cup. So that's sort of my outlook now.
Yeah. And for everyone that watched that, you know, everyone, I think, egregious yeah. on that team. So it sucked watching it for you. But Keeks, thank you so much for taking the time, buddy. Go get him at Augusta. We'll be pulling for you like always here at Missing Curfew. You've been great to us, buddy. Keep the head down. Low and slow, fella. Hey, low and slow. Up dog, fella. If you're at the bar, club, or better yet on the golf course, and you look over at the fellas to order something, and they all freeze up.
Well, I'd tell them, hey, boys, loosen up. But what would you do, fella?
Exactly. Have some confidence, fellas. Or as Jägermeister calls it, shoffidence. If everyone's struggling, here's what you do. Just order for the table. A round of ice-cold Jägermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, up dog, we've all been drinking Jägermeister wrong.
I guess so. And how do you think we should be drinking it?
The fellas at Jägermeister, they want it at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, Uppy.
You know what? Thinking back, when that cart girl comes around the path, Obes, and the boys are thirsty, and you're just wishing, damn, I'd love just a nice cold shot of Jägermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging with friends or at the bar, call the shots, fellas. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check Jägermeister out at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.